Well, brethren, I'd like to say welcome to everyone today. It is a unique day. It is a time of fasting for God's church. And with that, I'm going to read the post that Ron has put on online. I think it's very relevant to the sermon today. So I'm going to read this in its entirety, and there may be some that hadn't already read it anyway. So, and it says, I would like to say welcome to everyone on this Sabbath day. Today is a fast day, and I would like to start the sermon today by reading the post that Ron has put on the website. And it's War in the World. It's entitled. And it says, in September of 1969, I was baptized into God's church. And in 1981, I was ordained into the ministry of God's church. And through this period of time, I have witnessed much concerning great spiritual struggles in the lives of brethren and of the church itself. God's people individually and God's church of the collective body and of the structural organization has been the object of constant spiritual attack through time. Satan loathes God, his church, and his plan for the kingdom of God. We know and believe that we are now nearing the very last phase of this end time. We believe we are about to witness man's last war, World War III. Over the weekend, rhetoric out of North Korea and Iran has only intensified. And at some point, there will be some incident in the world that triggers a rapid escalation of events that thrust the world into nuclear war. And it's a horrifying thought, but it is our reality. In the news this past week, there's been a lot of bantering back and forth as to whether North Korea has the ability to strike the United States with nuclear missiles. They have mostly dismissed and ridiculed such a possibility. Yet another source has just brought to light that North Korea does have the ability to put a satellite into orbit, as it did in December. That passes over the South Pole at a 300-mile altitude, which could easily carry a nuclear device. This report states that if a single device exploded over Omaha, Nebraska, it could generate a powerful electronic pulse, or EMP as it's called, that would be able to collapse the United States electric grid and other critical infrastructures. South Korea has warned the U.S. that North Korea has been working on a super EMP warhead with Russia's help. China's military claims North Korea has such warheads, and data from North Korea's nuclear test are stated as being consistent with super EMP warheads. It has been confirmed that if such a device exploded over Omaha, it would be sufficient to create an EMP from coast to coast in the U.S. A former ambassador and director of the Strategic Defense Initiative Organization said that if such a device exploded over Omaha, it would blanket the entire continental U.S. with EMP effects, with consequences that would lead to death, to the death of millions of Americans, and the end of our way of life. And now it's entitled Urgent Fast. We live in a precarious time when at any moment the first nuclear device will explode and lead to many more. Though the world is about to plunge into World War III, the church has been experiencing world war for some time now. At the time of the apostasy, the first seal of Revelation was unsealed, and then a great spiritual war engulfed God's church on a worldwide scale. And as I mentioned at the beginning about my time in the church and the ministry and of witnessing great spiritual battles, what God's church is experiencing now is by far the most powerful and continuing attack I've ever seen throughout all my time in God's church. Some may wonder how this could be a time of the greatest spiritual attacks over that span of time when in 1994, there were over 60,000 casualties that quickly resulted from the apostasy. and there were over 30,000 who were scattered as they struggled to remain alive. And during that time, there was great spiritual power, signs, and lying wonders that worked to devastate God's church. But the reality was that the entire church was so spiritually weak, lukewarm, and filled with pride that God would not accept her any longer in such a condition. So at the opening of the first seal, he removed himself from the church, vomited it out. When separated from God, with him and his son no longer dwelling in, the church was prime picking for Satan and the demonic world. And so this separation was followed immediately by power, demonic spiritual power, signs and lying wonders within the organization of the Worldwide Church of God. So how is this time we are in now a time of greater spiritual warfare and attack from that demonic world upon God's church? During the apostasy, the body of the church was removed from God dwelling in it. The church was without God's spiritual strength, power, and protection in it. However, the church today is not weak. Since 1969, I have never witnessed the church being nearly as spiritually strong and unified as I now see it. Some few may feel otherwise, but that could only be the result of their short time experience and our spiritual weakness at this time. I know what I have witnessed, and that witness is from God, and it is true. Over the past few months in personal experience and upon hearing from so many brethren about their own experiences, there has not been a time in all my time in God's church when Satan and the demons' attacks upon God's church have been so furious. This is simply a testimony to the time we are in and the reality that they know their time is nearly over. Though these attacks are making many much stronger on one hand, they are nevertheless wearisome and spiritually draining, which is dangerous. If the church were not as strong as it is, it would have been devoured long before this. But God's people are being resolute, persevering, and continuing at the battle that is before them and not giving up. This is a battle to the completion when God sends His Son in His kingdom. There have been very few casualties, but there are still a few more who are weakened and will not survive if they do not turn things around in their spiritual lives and take heed and practice what has been written in recent posts and in letters to the ministry. For this includes a few in the ministry as well. Since the spiritual battle has been going on for such a long duration of time and has been working to make people weary in battle, it is time to fight ever harder and press forward spiritually more than ever before. It is time for a church-wide fast in order for us to be strengthened with greater power from on high, power from which Satan cannot battle. Satan and his demons can fight against the angelic realm, and they can attack God's people, but they cannot attack God and the power of His Spirit in our life. That power, God's Spirit in us, is our power and might by which we are made strong against attacks and are able to move forward against that evil spirit realm until the day that realm itself is placed into captivity. It is with such knowledge of all this that I have often quoted a powerful scripture. You are of God, little children, and have overcome. The Greek means conquered. Conquered them because greater is He, God Almighty in Jesus Christ, who is in you than he, talking about Satan and his demons, that is in the world. And that's in 1 John 4 and verse 4. As God's church, we're going to engage in battle, as God will pour out more strength and power upon us and in us. We will fast this weekend. For most, this Sabbath is the primary time set aside for this fast. However, it is perfectly fine to fast on Sunday. It is your choice. If you do not receive this notice of a fast before this weekend, then participate in it as soon as you can once you receive the knowledge of it. We are following the outline in Isaiah 58, in which we are to first cry out to God for forgiveness of our own personal sins, and also ask for help to see sin in ourselves of which we are blind. Then, when God helps us to see that which He and His only Son can see, then we repent. Then we are to follow this by praying using this same outline for God's strength and power to fill us more fully in order to accomplish the spirit of battle of Isaiah 58 in diminishing the power of Satan. Power to bind, to deceive, and to hold captive because of human sin. We are small and our numbers are small. And an evil spirit world is about to be chained and imprisoned. But as presence, its numbers are large against us. God's power in us makes them small and reduces their power and will bring them to nothing. This is a great war and we should be sobered by it and thereby be diligently on guard in fighting it. But our Petra is all-powerful and almighty, against which nothing can stand. Let's keep it this fight until victory has been won. So, brethren, today is a unique fast. And the title today is an urgent fast, just as Ron addressed in this post. And the purpose of a fast is not to do our health in. I do want to speak about this a little. Because there are some people that do not need to fast the whole time. And some maybe not at all according to their health. And this fast is not to make yourself sick or sicker if you have health problems. It's not to put your life in a difficult position. And if you're a diabetic and there are other types of health issues that where fasting can harm you physically. And everyone should take this into account that are affected by this and not put your health at risk. And I wanted to mention this here at the beginning because we do need to understand that there are those that are able to do it. And today, like I said, is an urgent fast. And it's a fast to help us to more fully focus on what God has been doing and what God is doing and what God's focus is. Everything that God gives us in sermons, everything that we're taught, it's what God's focus is for His people, His church. And it's what He's doing in large part in how He's leading and guiding and directing His church through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as we heard in the post, we understand even when God was leading the children out of Egypt, there's always a few that want to go back and did not want to follow God any longer. But that is only a few. But God and His Son is the one who is directing the church through His Son. And that is how God leads us. And God's Son is the one who gives us where God is leading us. And He gives us this through the sermons. It is God, through Jesus Christ, that the content of these sermons come out. Things that God wants us to have. And we can learn and see a pattern when God is leading us. And we can actually learn from these patterns. God and Jesus Christ have to be excited about where He's led on this earth for 6,000 years of man's rule upon this earth. And when God looks at what mankind has done to this earth and what they are doing to this earth, God has had great patience with man. And because of His plan, He's had patience so that this earth could be populated. But now it has come to a time when man can destroy every living creature upon this earth, just as Ron said through this post. World War III is on the horizon. And now it is time for God to prepare to begin saving mankind. And in God's plan, in the first 6,000 years, we understand that God only had a small amount in the scheme of things. And we understand that there will be 144,000 returning with Jesus Christ. And there will be very few alive that at His return that will be changed at that time. And we understand God's plan. We understand how it works. We understand the sequence of events in this plan. And we understand what God is creating. And God and Jesus Christ have to be very excited about where we are in time. God has painted us a picture down through His book. And we understand what it is to be coming out of Egypt. We've been taught these things in God's church about coming out of Egypt symbolically, year by year, ever since I have been in God's church. That's what we've been taught. That's what it represents. And we understand the symbolism when God brought a nation of people out of captivity and brought them out to deliver them. And we can learn from what God is doing with mankind. And we refer to these things of Egypt during the days of unleavened bread and of what God did and the symbolism and what it pictures of coming out of sin and of coming out of spiritual Egypt. And it's a process that God has taken us out of sin through His plan. And the days of unleavened bread pictured coming out of sin. And because of what Jesus Christ did is the Passover, that's why it starts with the Passover. And you and I understand the process. But now more than ever, everything that all these things picture, we're at that moment in time when God is taking the entirety of the world out of spiritual Egypt. All of mankind is going to have the opportunity to know the great God of this universe. And that has not been the case down through time. For the last 6,000 years of man's rule upon this earth. But God in His Son is about to project us into an awesome time of liberty, an awesome time of freedom, and of deliverance that God is bringing to this earth. And He's letting you and me share in this knowledge and this excitement. And we should be inspired by what we see, by the knowledge that God lets us have. And it's one of the reasons why we are fasting today. An urgent fast. For it is God that has to lead us. And it's God that lets us see where we are. And we should thank God that He's blessing us. Just to be able to share in what He's doing. And He makes His plan to bring us out of captivity. So we should humble ourselves before God and be so thankful for what He's given us and let us share in. We are a blessed people of all upon the face of this earth. And I hope you understand. Mankind has had 6,000 years to form his own governments, his own way of life. But now, it should be exciting times for you and me. Just to know where we are in that moment of time in the Church of God. We are on the threshold of a new world, brethren, a new age. And I hope you understand where you are in time and what you've been offered. I don't think we fully grasp it, but we can try to appreciate what God has let us see. And I hope we understand that God has been blessing us by letting us see and helping us to see that focus upon His kingdom that is coming to this earth to set up the government of God upon this earth. I hope we see it, and I hope we are thankful. And we look at the world around, at the world scene, and what is taking place. And we can see that it's intensifying more and more. And as we just read in this post from Ron about the weapons that are here, we should understand that we are on God's time. and it is God, the great God that is leading you and me. And things will take place in God's time. God tells us that He does let us see. But it is like looking through a dark glass, is the way God tells us. But we do not need to look at this book to look on the world scene and see what is taking place. We now have the weapons to destroy every living thing upon this earth many times over. And like I said, it is intensifying more and more. All you have to do is turn on the news. But God is bringing us out of Egypt. And it's an awesome blessing just to be a part of what is taking place upon this earth. Of all the things that God has given to us, and of all the doors that He's opened to His church, we can look back at all this and think about deliverance. All the deliverance that God is getting ready to give to this world. And He's giving it a new world. We have so much to be thankful for, especially in the midst of our fasting. We have much to consider. And we're going to consider some verses focused upon the fast today, as we heard about in the post. And it's in Isaiah 58, if you want to be turning there. All of us understand about Leviticus 16. And we understand about the Day of Atonement and what it represents. And Leviticus 16 does paint us a picture about Jesus Christ and about being atoned, about being reconciled to God, and the process that we go through to be atoned to our God. And we understand the Day of Atonement is about fasting. But this fast is not the same. But it's about one that is talked about in Isaiah 58. And we're going to go to Isaiah and we're going to look at what was given about fasting. God wants us to understand this on an individual plane, to understand what He's doing on a worldwide plane with the world. And you and I need to be focused on where we are in time in order to receive what God wants to give to us, His church. Either we believe this is God's church and God is leading this church, or either we want to go back to Egypt. But most, from what I am hearing, are more resolved than they have ever been, is what I hear. They understand that this is God's church. And they understand that it is the great God of this universe and His Son, Jesus Christ, that is leading and guiding His church. And that we are on God's time. God lets us see what He wants us to see at the time. And God does reserve the right to tell us to turn right or turn left. And it should be our desire to follow God. Isaiah 58 and verse 6 we find. Before these verses, God gives chastening and He gives correction because fasting is not always done for the right reasons. So the first few verses kind of corrects this and explains it. And it's not about getting something from God. It's about humbling ourselves before God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are going to get something from God when we do these things correctly. We will receive. When we humble ourselves with the right attitude, with the right mind, and in the sense of being, and it is in the sense of being blessed in our lives. And it's usually through understanding. And it's through the purpose of doing things right. The attitude of mind should be of gratitude and of thankfulness for what you know and the understanding that you have. Should not be a desire and a hunger. It should be of a desire and a hunger to be fed from our God. It's what it should be. And it shouldn't be about getting something from God. God does not owe you and me anything, brother. And I hope you understand that. We should have the attitude of mind, the correct mind, when we are fasting. And the purpose of fasting is to humble ourselves before the great God. The purpose of fasting is to draw closer to God. And our petitions, when we do that, we will end up having a closer relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, when we do it. And it should be with a view of what God is doing, and to pray according to God's will in our life and not our will. If you remember when Jesus Christ said, "Whatsoever you ask in my name," the way some have looked at this in the past, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, I'm going to give it to you." But that's not what this is about. It's not what fasting is about. It's all about God's will and what God is doing. And the reason for being closer to God, the reason for being more at one with God, is so that when we pray with an unselfish motive, so that we can grow, so that we can be a part of what God is doing upon this earth and into the millennium when we understand this plan, and finally to the end, into His family that He is creating. Isaiah 58 and verse 6, God says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Isn't it for the purpose to loosen?" And this is a word that means to open or undo the bands, the shackles, whatever holds captive. And that's what it's talking about. Whatever is holding you back. Whatever it is that is keeping you captive, imprisoned. And most of it is about the mind, brethren. To let go whatever it is in our mind and in our being. And that is the purpose of fasting. To release these bonds. To have a right mind, a free mind. To free it up. To think right. And God says, "Isn't this the fast that I have chosen? To undo the things that are holding you back," better said. And God says to loosen, to undo the bands of wickedness. Let's notice what is being said. Let's notice what it's about. It's about sin, wickedness, because that's what keeps us captive. That's what makes us captive. It's sin. And that is why we are held captive. We're held captive because of not obeying God's law and God's will. And by not living by those commands, those commandments. And so we can look around at this world and see why they are in captivity. Because they don't understand these things. The world does not know about the correct way to keep the Sabbath. They just don't understand about obeying God. They don't understand about the correct way to keep the Sabbath. And they don't understand about the holy days and about how to keep these days. And they don't understand the purpose and the plan of God and what God is doing. They don't understand how they should be living life. They don't understand that we should live by the Ten Commandments and that none of them are done away with. They don't understand the spirit of those commandments. And so they find themselves in captivity. But God has a plan for them as well. And we are coming out of Egypt fast now. Time is short. But you and I are not out of it until we are out of it. And that means we are not out of it until we are changed from mortal to immortal. That's when you're out of it. It's when we shed this flesh. And you and I are still coming out of Egypt at this time. But it's short. And our whole life has been the process of coming out of Egypt. When we understand. And we understand we're not out of it until we have completed the whole journey of coming out of sin. And so God is showing us the purpose of humbling ourselves before Him, showing us the purpose of drawing closer to Him. And when we do, we learn great lessons in this physical life. And that is part of the purpose of fasting. And nobody has to tell us this. We understand by the time we take that last drink of water that we are thirsty. And we know we're not really thirsty. But the mind tells us after that first drink of water that you won't be able to have another drink for 24 hours. And we understand that we cannot go without water or food for very long. But this should be a spiritual lesson for us in the Church of God as well. If you go without God, spiritual blindness sets in. And it doesn't take long without a relationship with God. And if you don't stay in contact with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, you can't go very long. But people deceive themselves. They think they can go it alone sometimes. They think they can overcome and conquer on their own. But you can't go long. And if you cut yourself off from God's Spirit and you don't have God working in your life, you're on dangerous ground, brother. God says to loose the bounds, whatever it is, to shed it. The shackles of wickedness is the way God says it, and He's talking about sin. To undo, to remove, let's notice, the heavy burdens. And sometimes we are burdened down by things because we're not sound-minded. And there are things that God has to show us in our mind. And He has to show us why we think the way that we do sometimes. And what our true motives really are. And one of the hardest things for human beings is to see why they do the things that they do. Realizing sin helps us to see that once we sin. And when something happens in our life, we are usually quick to cry out to God, especially when we sin. And we wonder sometimes, why did I do this? It so blindsides us sometimes. We don't realize it at the time. And we wonder why we did it. What was in our minds that made us do this? How could we possibly have thought this way? That was not my intentions. But it happens. And we understand what needs to be changed because that is what needs to be changed. The sin has to be repented of. We have to get away from whatever it was that caused us to sin. We have to ask and find out why it took place. And where did it come from in our thinking? There is a spirit world out here that is broadcasting mightily at this time, brethren. And it's something that you and I need to understand, that it's about this mind. And it is the way we think that needs to surface. I guess you could call it a casualty of events in our lives. It's the way we could describe it. And if we can spot these things in our mind before it takes place, then we can deal with them faster. And we can conquer them before they take place. God says through His books to bring every thought into captivity. And that's what it's talking about. And that's what Paul meant when he said, by the mind I serve God, but with the flesh. Paul understood it was weak. And we understand those comments that Paul made. And we understand that the flesh is weak. Verse 6, to undo the heavy burdens. So, we're not to put heavy burdens on ourselves, but we do. God says to undo them. And we have to be careful because we can also put burdens upon our brothers and sisters. We can put heavy weights upon them sometimes. And I guess one of the biggest downfalls of mankind is control. Power. Even if it's in a passive way. Which means sometimes, do it my way or the highway. And we all understand this. And we understand that human nature is a hard thing to conquer. And most everyone knows that they know the best way. There's always their way, and usually they think that that is the best way. It's just the way the mind works. But there is only one way to follow God and His church, one way. And that is to follow the great God of this universe and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. And that is why we are focused upon this fast. So we can understand that we are to follow God wherever He leads. And that is part of the process. It's what we do. Follow God. And fasting is a matter of growing close to God and asking for help so we can see the things that we do to ourselves and to others so that we can be free. Free from Egypt. Coming out of Egypt to be freed of sin. How we treat each other has a great deal to do with helping to free others. It's a beautiful thing that God has showed us through His plan. And it's a tool. This fast is a tool whereby we can actually draw closer to our God and be more at one with Him and to be more atoned to our God with the desire to have the same mind. It's what our desire should be. And that's what we are focusing on in this fast. To undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. It's not just about you and me. It's about the oppressed. So, who do we oppress? What do we do that we may oppress someone else? So that is what this is talking about. Let the oppressed go free. And God says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To free us up, to help us become more at one with God. And in the process, to free others. To let the oppressed go free. And let's notice, and that you break, tear down. And the word in Hebrew says that you tear down and it says yoke. But the word in the Hebrew has to do with oppression. So better said, that you tear down every oppression. Better said. So when we look on this on a spiritual plane, in what this reveals to us spiritually, it explains to us what we need to bring into our life and be, and to be a part of our life. Brethren, God has a desire for all of mankind to come out of this oppression, because that's what it's all about. It's about freeing everyone eventually. And so God takes us through this process of delivering us out of Egypt. And now we're at a point in time in man's history at the end of 6,000 years where He is going to help bring to this world by removing the one who has caused the greatest oppression through time, Satan the devil, our adversary. His time is fast approaching when God will remove him finally. And Satan has caused more oppression in God's plan than any other being. Satan is the one that has led the charge. And he is the one who led a third of the angelic beings to rebel against God. And we understand that he turned away a third of them from obeying God. Their minds became perverted, and they follow Satan, and they choose a different way from God's way. You know, when we deal with one another, when we look at God's way of life, God has a way for you and I to live. we do follow a regiment, so to speak. And we strive to keep all the commandments of God, every one of us. And we strive to put sin out of our life, every one of us. So we do follow a regiment, and we do become alike in certain ways. And with that, sometimes people don't understand. And they don't want someone in their life telling them what to do and how to do it. And sometimes they think, who does he think he is? And that's the way of mankind. That's how they work. That's how they think. But it's not in God's church. It's not the way of God. God wants us to become of one mind. It's what God says. We're all to think alike. And he does want us to become alike in that sense of obedience, keeping the commandments, becoming of one mind, to become like him and his son. So we can see God is leading us to a point in time in his plan when he will free the world more and more as we go through God's plan. So this attitude, this spirit, this mind, the mind of God, that's the way it has to be, the mind of God. The way to Jerusalem, the city of peace. And that is what God is teaching you and me. He's teaching us the way. He's teaching us the way of peace. And he's given us the way of peace. And it's by obedience and following him. And he's telling us how. And that's what the word Jerusalem really means. It's what the city is about. It's where God is leading his church to a spiritual rest. Sometimes we just have to think about what some of these things are and what the real meaning is. But it is God that has to show us and teach us. When we look back at what has been revealed to us about Satan, we know his time is short. We know that the demonic world is not very happy right now. And most of us understand that they are lashing out at God's people. We understand that God gives to you and me, his church, the present truth. And we understand that it has been progressive down through time. God has revealed more and more. And now, you and I find ourselves at the end of an age where we have so much understanding, brother. So much. And it always amazes me at what people focus upon. Can we not look at just what we do know? Look at the 57 truths. Look at how much we know since the apostasy. And when I hear somebody say that we want to go back, I don't want to go this way. I don't see certain things happening, and I just want to go back. It's the age-old story, brother. The same story that we read about in Exodus just about every year. There were some that always wanted to go back to where they were comfortable. And I'm telling you now, this is not going to be comfortable times from here on out. We are facing the most destructive times in man's history. Never been a time like this in man's history. Never been a time when every living being upon this earth could be destroyed. Our lives can so change in 1 hour that our minds cannot comprehend that change. Just as we heard in this post. The destruction that can take place at the blink of an eye now. That's how quick it could be. There are things in Scripture, this book, that Satan knows what's written in this book. But he doesn't understand what it means. It's only God that can give that understanding. And he's certainly not going to give it to Satan, brother. And that's why things are done the way they are done. And when God says to turn left, we turn left. And when God says turn right, we turn right. Because of that being. Because God cannot let him understand what his next move will be. And we need to understand this. We can see it all down through time. The children of Israel, when God was leading them, they did not know where they were going. We just went through the series, Road to Crucifixion. And those that walked with Jesus Christ every day did not understand where they were in time. And it is only God that can give you that understanding. And we saw how God, through Jesus Christ, gave them the understanding when it was time. Not before, but when it was time for them to understand. And it is no different now in our time. God will give it when it is time. God has to reveal it. When we go back to the book of Daniel, Satan didn't know what all those things meant. Satan knows that they have a certain amount of time. We know how much time and what that time is and what his fate is. There's a battle going on, a fierce battle. And there is a war that is going on, a spiritual war. And there's some awesome things that are going to take place in just a very short while. We want to focus on the freedom that God is about to bring. In Corinthians it says, you don't have to turn there, he who thinks he shall stand, take heed lest he fall. And when we think we have a pretty good understanding of where we are spiritually in any situation, it's dangerous when we think we stand. God tells us to take heed unless we fall. And it can be the most minute of things. I've seen it over and over. And when this mind takes a turn, it's like you flip a switch. And if you don't repent quickly, you will cut yourself off from God. So, brethren, I'm telling you, just repent quickly. You and I will understand a lot more about all this freedom that is coming to this earth when Jesus Christ returns to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth. The oppression of man will begin to be removed. Understanding will be given about God's family. About the Ten Commandments. About the way to live. About the Sabbath, about the holy days. When you look around, man has lost a mutual respect in this world, man's world. But that will begin to be restored in God's world. And once people begin to live God's way of life, they will begin to have a mutual respect for one another. It's just a given. Can we see just what this alone would do, brethren, when everyone begins to keep God's commandments? When there will be no more prejudice in this world? When we will have right respect toward one another? We're all different. And those that live into the millennium will be just like us. They will still be different. What about men and women that we have so focused on? The injustices against one another will be taught correctly. Marriage is a beautiful thing when done correctly. It's a beautiful thing. Respect for one another. And that is gone out of a lot of marriages today. There's not much of it around. We see the infighting. We see the bitterness that develops. But these will begin to be addressed the correct way, the correct way to live. Human emotions are a powerful thing. And sometimes people judge off of emotions, not off of what God says, the way God says to live. But like I said, human emotions are hard to conquer. And most rule by their emotions. That's how it's done. They don't rule by what's right or wrong. It never enters the picture. Never enters the picture of what God says, how to do it, how to live. And they think each one of them has the best way. And the other will just not listen to their way. It's the way it usually goes. Verse 7. Isn't it to deal? In other words, I think the New King James says to share. And that's better said. But the word also means to divide. And it says your bread with the hungry. So, this is talking about giving. It's what God's way of life is. That's what it's talking about. And when we see God's love in it, it's not about getting something, it's about giving. Mr. Armstrong used to say, the give or get way of life. He brought it down to those simple terms. And it's a process of humbling ourselves. And that's why we are fasting. And so he says, isn't it to deal, share your bread with the hungry? In other words, what do we have to share? We always look at things physically. But this is about the mind and a desire to help others who need help. What about the bread of life that Jesus Christ talked about? Wouldn't it be better to share the bread of life with the hungry? And that is what will happen in just a short while. There will be a lot of hungry people who want to understand about this way of life. And some of you are going to live into this world, this way of life. And you will share your bread, the bread of life, with those that are hungry. It's a way to share, and that's what this is about. It's what this fast is about, to humble ourselves and to understand what is ahead of us. This is the focus that God has. A desire for His church to have this kind of mind. To understand that isn't it better to deal your bread to the hungry, the poor? And it also means the weak, the afflicted, who are cast out of your house. Now this one really hit home with me. Because there are so many that we used to walk side by side to God's house on the Sabbath day. Who were a part of our house, but no longer are a part of this house. They cast themselves out. And I look forward to when I can see past friends. Some that have now become enemies. Enemies to Jesus Christ and to the great God of this universe. And regardless of when that time is, you and I know the plan of God. We know about the great white throne. And for some, I'm sure that will be this time. But it is a wonderful thing when we will be able to share with them once again. So brethren, those of us who lived through the apostasy, we understand that if God had not awakened us, there go I, except for the grace of God. So we do look forward to a time when we can see friends, former friends, once again. And it says in verse 7, bring the poor, the weak, the afflicted, who are cast out of your house. What about the others in the world? What about them? We're all family. It's just a matter of how we look at it. It's not their time. It's a matter of respecting each other. Do we judge each other? Do we judge improperly? In other words, do we oppress others? To bring it down to those terms. And we do that as humans. And that's what God wants you and me to get rid of. when we oppress others and when we afflict others, because the Church of God is a family. And you know, that's something that we hear early on when brethren are newly baptized and come into the fellowship. They start to understand very quickly that we are family. And that's what you hear. When they start to understand that we are actually closer than physical family. And the longer you are in God's church, the more you understand this. And if you're blessed to have physical family in the spiritual body, that makes it even better. And it says, "Isn't it to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor who are cast out of your house, so that when you see the naked." So, what is this talking about? Who is the naked? Spiritually speaking, brethren, the world. The whole world is naked at this time. They don't know. They don't know the way of God, God's way. You know, even when they're brethren in the church, some don't always see it God's way. But it's talking about those that are naked. And the bulk of it is the world. And we don't want them to make mistakes if they are in the church of God. So when they sin, we understand they have a process. All of us do when we sin. They have to repent, all of us. And they have to do that themselves. It's not something that we can do for them. And it's the process that everyone goes through when we are talking about this world. It's a different matter. Excuse me. It's a different matter when we're speaking about the world. The whole world is naked. But God is leading us into a new age, into a world where all of a sudden knowledge will begin to flood this earth. The world today is in darkness, as our God explains it. But there is freedom coming and there is deliverance coming. And this is where we are in time. We are on the verge of a new world, brethren. So when we see the world naked, God is leading us into a new world, a new age. When all of a sudden God's Spirit will be there. As we read earlier, they will want to know the truth and what is taking place. And when you see them needing understanding, we don't need to oppress them. We don't need to condemn them. We don't need to judge them. Now, sometimes in the body, we do have to do this, but that's a different matter. Sometimes it has to be done, and that's a painful thing. But that is the way God says to do it, when it has to be done. And that is the best way. And we have seen it through time that it is best, God's way. But when we see the naked, it's like those who are cut off right now, who are blind, who are naked, who are separated from the body. And we should look forward to this time. So that you see the naked and that you cover them. Our desire is to see them blessed. And we know how that comes about. It comes about by being brought to repentance, is how it will take place. And then when they can see what they have done, what they really are before God, and they begin the process, then they can change their life and live God's way, a better life. And that's what God's desire is. And we should be merciful to them when this begins to take place. And that's what it's talking about, and that's why we are fasting. And it's an humble spirit to do things God's way, according to God's will. And that's what this is all about, to do it God's way and to follow God. Verse 8, let's notice. Notice what's being said. Then will your light break forth as the morning. So we can see it explaining it even further. The more we obey God, the more we live this way of life. And the more we get rid of oppression in our life and the oppression of others. And the more we get rid of these things and the more we change our thinking and realize that it's about this mind. And when we're able to repent and have the right attitude and seek the right attitude of working and sharing with others about this way of life, it boils down to the way that we treat others has to change. It's mankind's biggest downfall. When we understand, we will deal our bread to others. It's what will take place. Puts a new meaning upon it, doesn't it, when you look at it that way? The more we obey God, the more we live this. And the more that we look at ourselves, where we are oppressive in our own lives and in the lives of others. And the more that we rid ourselves of these things that bind us and the burdens that we bear on others by wrong thinking, the more we're able to repent and begin doing what it says in verse 7, to have this attitude, to seek the attitude of dealing and sharing what we have with others, this way of life, God's way, to do it God's way. And sometimes it's just the way that we treat people. And we have to come to understand this when we begin dealing our bread to others because of what God has given you and what you understand. And we need to do it correctly, and we need to do it God's way without the oppression. Then we can deal the bread of life and share. And it comes down to how we treat one another, basically, about relationships. And when we begin to do these things, it says, verse 8, then will your light break forth in the morning because of the change that comes about. And when you start dealing your bread to others, can you begin to see and learn what God is going to do during the millennium? Can you see what will take place? Verse 8, and that your health spring forth speedily. Spiritual health, the mind. We always think physical. That your health spring forth speedily. It's about the mind. And we will deal our bread to others, and it's about spiritual health that will take place. And the strength that this will give us through the mind. And it will bring forth a healthy mind when we do it God's way. And let's notice that your righteousness. Let's notice what this is about. That your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the eternal, let's notice what's being said. The glory of the eternal shall be your rear guard. Because God protects us when we do it God's way. When we are cut off, when we are not cut off, God helps us. God's way produces fruit. God's way will bring us through it all. When we follow God, when we keep God in our focus and live in God's way, always produces fruit. So by fasting and drawing closer to God, we can receive of what this is telling us. So can you see what mankind is about to receive from God in Jesus Christ? Can we see it? Because it paints you and me a picture, a beautiful picture of what is about to take place upon this earth to mankind. And they have no clue. But this is what God is letting us know. This is what God is sharing. This is what God has told us through His book. Isn't this the fast that I have chosen? Isn't this the way that we should think and deal with others? God's way. In the purpose of drawing closer to God, can we see it? Can we see that what being more at one with God can do? Can we see what it does? God magnifies it for you and me. But soon it will be magnified in all this world when God starts to deliver the whole world, to bring them out of sin. And it's a beautiful picture. To bring them out of Egypt, spiritual Egypt, to open their minds. And then you can deal your bread to them. And it's a beautiful picture when you understand it. Verse 9. Then shall you call, and the Eternal will answer. Let's notice what is being said, because it's an incredible verse, brethren. When our mind becomes more at one with God, when we're able to see ourselves, let's notice, then shall you call, and the Eternal will answer. You will cry. He will say, here I am. When you take away from me the midst of you the yoke. In other words, what we're discussing, what we are responsible for in our lives. When you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger. So, what is it talking about? Which finger is it? You point a finger at someone else, and there's always three pointing back at you. And usually we're not without guilt when we do these things. Usually there's a reason. And usually there's a reason we're in situations that we point a finger. And we know human nature. But we also know that God has got us on the road to deliverance. And it says, when you put away from you wrong judgment, wrong accusations, the pointing of the finger. What about pointing it at other brethren? So can we see the attitude that it's somebody else's fault? It's usually what it is when we do this. Of blaming somebody else. It's their fault. And when this attitude is there, most of the time they get angry and upset because somebody didn't do it their way or do something that they wanted them to do. And we know where that comes from. But do we see the selfishness in all of it? Do we see the pride in it? Do we see the attitude of mind that it takes to do this? Do we understand what needs to be changed when someone begins to lose control of their emotions and they become angry? And there's no justification when this happens. And we all know that. And we don't have that right to get upset with someone in the body, to become angry. And it's not their fault when we become angry, because we have that control. And God tells us of ways to do with this through His book, by going to our brother. And we have a series given on how to go to your brother, how to gain your brother. But we need to be willing to accept our responsibility when these things crop up. And we do have to respond when we see these types of attitudes, with that type of thinking. And I know we have all done it at some point in time, all of us. And it doesn't take long sometimes for it to crop up. I know it passed overnight. We didn't get through the door before I saw wrong attitudes. The minute Passover was over. So it only takes a moment in time. But when it does take place, God gives us the correct way to deal with it through His book. Verse 9. Then you shall call, and the Eternal shall answer. You shall cry, and He shall say, here I am. when you take away from you, from the midst of you, the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity. I think the New King James says wickedness. So this is telling us the way we are, brethren. God is telling us right here in these few words. He tells us the way we are. The yoke and the burdens that we place on our own lives and that we place on others, even if we don't realize it and see it. And sometimes it's a controlling spirit, the mind, and it can be a selfish spirit. The putting forth of the finger. But God has a way of letting us see ourselves the way we are. Ron said it's like lifting the lid of a cesspool and letting us get a whiff of it every now and then. And thankfully, he doesn't throw us in there. Some choose to go in there by choice. But at least God doesn't throw you and me in there. But he does let us get a whiff. But thankfully, he lets us get up and see ourselves and take a fresh breath of air to clear it out. And every now and then, it's good just to see ourselves and see what we are really like as human beings. And sometimes he lets us see how we've hurt others in the process, how we have oppressed others, because we do. We do it. All of us do it. Not intentionally all the time, but we do, because we're in this flesh. And that is why we have the problems in the world that we do, because we're selfish by nature. Mankind is selfish by nature, and he's prideful by nature. And then it says, in the speaking of vanity. Now, we probably all know what this one means, speaking of vanity. When we see someone bragging, we see someone trying to lift self up, trying to make self look good, to look better in front of others. We've all seen it. And when you give a little authority to some, sometimes it immediately goes to their head. Because that's what they want. They want this power. They want that authority. And usually they're going to let you know when they have it. That's the way it works. And the speaking of vanity. We know what it's talking about. And if you draw out your soul to the hungry. And that's what we're looking at now. How to do it. What God is telling us. To see what God has given us. To see what's ahead of us. To see why we sacrifice. To see why we're fasting. And that you draw out your soul to the hungry. We want to see the whole world out of oppression, brother. We want to see them all enter this way of life. All of them. We have family, friends. And we certainly want to see them enter this way of life. And we are at this moment in time when we are just about there, brother. We are on the threshold when we understand. When we look around at the world, when we look at it just on a physical plane, and many say there's just no way that all of this can take place in such a short time. How can all this take place when they look at it? It doesn't seem like it's possible. But that's what our faith is. It's what faith is. It's what God shows us at the time. And that's what we believe. And that's the reason we go forward with all our being. Because either we believe God is leading this church, or we don't. It comes down to that. And if by some chance God says we turn left or we turn right, that's what we do. Because we know it's God's church. And we know that there's a reason for it. We know about this being that wants to know every move that God makes. But God always explains it if we do turn left or right. And that is why we go forward. We follow God. It's what we do. When we were first called, God let us see the Sabbath in the holy days. And I remember the first book that I read, The U.S. in Britain in Prophecy. And I believed it. I believed every word of it. I didn't go to church anywhere. I do remember hearing Mr. Armstrong late at night when my wife and I, when I was going to school in Atlanta, and we would come home on the weekends on an old AM radio. Most of you probably don't even know what an AM radio is now. But we didn't have all these modern radios. And these radios would fade in and out. And we would run down the hill and back to the top of the other hill before it faded out. So, because it would fade out in those days when you went down in the bottom. Now this is going to shock everybody. We did not have interstate highways then. And I know that that shocks a lot of you out there. But we have not always had interstate highways. You know, when we read this book, we actually couldn't prove it to anyone else. You couldn't prove it. We knew it was true. But we find ourselves at the end now. And you know what? We won't have to prove it. God will prove it. We don't have to do anything. God will do it. He will prove it. He will prove that this book was true. We are in a time when it will be exciting when this is all over. When this mind, this attitude will be changed. And we do want to share in the excitement of that new age when it comes. Can we comprehend that Jesus Christ is returning? Can we comprehend it? Can we comprehend God's government being established finally upon this earth? One church, one government, no Satan, no demons. Can you not know that God has to be excited about this time? God has worked a long, long time to bring this to pass. And he says, if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy, in other words, when you seek to satisfy the afflicted soul. Just notice what's being said. The afflicted soul. This world is hurting. And it's a dying world. It's in pain. Even though they don't know it. God calls it what it is. He likens it to birth pains. The birth pains of a child being born. And we can see that we are at the end. This brings about a time when you will be called upon to serve, to be able to help. And I hope you understand how blessed you are to be a part of it, of what will take place. To help those who are afflicted, to give people answers as to what's happening upon this earth and what is taking place. Can you see it? And it says, let's notice, then shall your light rise. Then shall your light rise in. And the word here in the King James says obscurity, but it means in the Hebrew, in that which has been darkened. And I think the New King James says darkness. And that's what it means. Your light shall rise in that which has been darkened. Better say it. And we understand why it was darkened and who darkened it. We know these things. We understand when Satan came upon the scene to Adam and Eve. And we understand that man has lived in darkness ever since, except for the ones that God has called down through time out of this darkness. It's the way God has it written. Come out of that darkness. And let's notice, then your light shall rise and your darkness shall be as the noonday. So spiritually speaking, can we see, brother? what it's saying. Verse 12, and this is where it tells us, and they that shall be of you. Now, what does this mean? What is this saying? Everyone who follows, everyone who comes in, everyone who follows after this. And we know that there will be 144,000. And we understand this. And then there will be those that will come into the millennium after this. Those that are brought in and will begin to have a part. And how blessed are you that you've been called and you have an opportunity to share in this new world. Those that have been called to live into this age, a new age. And I know that we cannot grasp it all at this time. It's hard to grasp even as you start to live it. It's going to be hard to grasp the magnitude of what has took place once it's over. But as time goes on, it will become more and more exciting after the horrors have passed away. And then we will begin to focus on what God is doing fully after we get through the horrors of it all, of that World War III that we heard about in the Post. And we are blessed to have knowledge of this, brother, and to be a part of it. And it should bring you to your knees to understand what you understand. You have more understanding than any down through time. Let's notice the next part. And they that be of you shall build the old waste places. Let's notice what's being said. And shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You know, there will be those, like I said, the 144,000. And there will be those that live into this new age. And it says, you will build the old waste places. And everything that is in this world that has been destroyed through time, all the religions, we get to be a part of changing it, brother. Regardless of whether you're a part of the 144,000 or live into this age, we get to be a part of changing it all. We all have a part in this to deal our bread. The bread of life, when you understand. And this should be exciting to understand what you are called to become a part of. And shall raise up the foundation of many generations, and you will be called, let's notice, the repairer of the breach. We are blessed to be part of to strengthen this wall that it's talking about. The examples about repairing the wall that was written in this book a long, long time ago, when they were allowed to repair the walls. And that's what it's talking about. And it's referring back to those walls in that time when they were being built. And a breach in the wall means that there's part of the wall that's been torn down where the enemy could come through back in those days. And you and I are blessed to repair, to be a part of strengthening that wall. And that's what it's talking about, so we can be strong, so that the world can be strong in God's way of life now. So that God's way of life is now made strong. And we're at the turning point of all this taking place. It's on our horizon. We can see the finish line. Satan will be chained. And this is a beautiful, beautiful picture in time for you and me. To raise up the foundations of many generations. And let's notice, you will be called the repairer of the breach. The restorer of paths. Let's notice what's being said. The paths. That's what it's talking about. The way to walk in. God's way. The way to dwell in. To abide in. Just like Jesus Christ told us on Passover night. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture when we see it and when we understand. And we are blessed to be a part of this. To share with others a way of life to be lived. and you're at the beginning. I guess one way to say it, I guess, the way mankind says it, you're on the ground floor. You're at the beginning of a new age, of a new world that is to be reformed, to raise up the foundations of many generations. And you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths, the paths to dwell in, to abide in. So it's a beautiful picture that's been painted, brother. So let's turn over to Colossians. Colossians 2. Brethren, just understanding the moment in time that we find ourselves in, and to understand that what has God has given us through all the truths. And when we look back, the 57 truths and what God has given us through this fast of what some will be doing during the millennium. So this understanding about this moment in time is an awesome blessing in itself, just to understand. Colossians 2. The urgent fast that we are to focus upon today, and it's not just about this fast, but it's beyond this fast, as we can see at what we are reading. And this fast is to humble our minds, to begin thinking about certain things that will come to pass in our future. And God always shows us the focus that He wants us to have. The focus that should be in our minds at this point in time. And that should be our attitude of mind. And that's what we should strive to hold on to. And in this fast, we are to focus upon the many blessings that God has poured out upon each of us since we were called. Sometimes, when we're called, we have things to deal with, and it's not always easy in this life to face some of the choices that we have to make to obey God in the beginning, till we understand. The Sabbath, the holy days, the marriages, the jobs. But there have been many blessings that come through obedience that we learn as we go through these choices that we make. And thankfully, we are at the end of this age, and these things will become easier for those that you will deal your bread to. Satan will be chained, and a new world order will be here, and it will make these things, these choices, easier. And it will make dealing your bread easier, the bread of life. Colossians 2 and verse 1. And we see that it's where Paul is talking to the Colossians, and he said, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea. For as many as not seen my face in the flesh." So we understand that Paul did a lot of traveling, and he went to a lot of different places. And that was a slow process. But he went to different areas, and because of the slow process of that time, they couldn't travel like we do today. Some had seen him and some hadn't seen him in the flesh. And Paul is talking about those that had not seen him face to face. And they had received the letters that had been sent to them, but they had never actually met Paul. In verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, upon all riches, a full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. So we can see Paul using this term, mystery of God. And we understand that he used this term over and over to discuss things that were hidden from this world, and we understand that they are hidden. Things that you and me cannot share at this time with others. They can't understand it, and it is a mystery. And we can't share it with the world until they're called, unless they're being drawn. So, as a whole, it's only those in the body of Christ, and this is what draws us together. this knowledge, the knowledge of this mystery in the Spirit of God that we possess. And we can talk about these things amongst ourselves. And we're supposed to be of the same mind. And the mind that you and I should be striving to is to be like God's mind. It's where we should be striving. And we should have that same mind of God. And when we are striving for that, it gives us comfort when we are doing it God's way. And when we understand that we are to have the mind of God, that makes us family. That Spirit binds us together. And we are to become one. And let's notice. The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God is the one who gave the truth to you and me. He's the one who drawed us. And the more understanding that God and His Son gives us about His way of life, the richer our lives become if we are obedient, if we follow God. And if we are obedient, the more we can receive and understand God's plan. And that is why the fast, that very reason. And that is why we are humbling ourselves for God to lead us, to give us understanding as we move through that plan. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you, and the Greek means falsely reason with you. And when we're called, we learn quickly that there are intellectuals out here. And usually everybody comes in contact with them when you're first called. Most everybody runs into them. And in this I say, lest anyone, any person should beguile you, reason falsely with you, with enticing words. And there are some persuasive arguments that can be made. That's why the garbage pits are out here. It's why the internet is out here with these garbage pits. And it does have persuasive words. And when people go out there, I liken it to eating out of the garbage cans. That's what I liken it to. Because that's just what it is. And I think sometimes people think they are strong enough to be able to swim in that garbage. And the reality is you can't do it. I've seen it over and over. And this I say, lest anyone should beguile you with enticing words, persuasive argument. So what Paul is telling them is to be careful. That's what he's telling them. Because Satan is like a roaring lion. And who else but the church of God does he want to draw out? And it's Satan that wants to get to you. It's what he wants. He's got the rest of this world. And those that are feeding the garbage pits, he's got them. And if you go over there and swim with them, you can be deceived. And Satan is a master of deception. And Satan does not like God's plan. And so we need to realize there's a demonic world out there that is very persuasive. And to go and listen to something that you're not strong enough to deal with. I hope you understand that you are messing with a spirit world that is very powerful. A spirit world that you are no match for. So Paul is reasoning with them and telling them to be careful, and that it's a dangerous world. And to know that these people are coming, and they're coming with these arguments, these persuasive arguments. Verse 5. Paul tells him, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. It's a wonderful thing to obey God, to be steadfast in the faith. It's a wonderful thing. And faith is a matter of what God has given us to believe the truth. And it's just like when I read the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, I knew it was true. And there's some of you that have read a book and you knew it was true. I didn't know much about the Bible, but I knew this was true. And then I realized I had a choice to start living by what I had learned, to live by it. So we do choose, and we do have choices, and it's our choice. And when we do become obedient, we become stronger and stronger as we continue to follow our God, wherever that might be, brother, to turn left or turn right when God says turn. And it's an awesome thing when you understand. Been around a long time, made a lot of turns. And what we're living through right now is an incredible thing. We're at the end of an age. And you were called at a unique time in history. And I hope you understand what you have been given. And I hope you understand how blessed you are to live at this time. Wouldn't want to live at any other time. And let's notice what else is being said. And that you're able to do, let's notice, with the steadfastness of your faith. In other words, we just believe. Steadfastness of your faith. And you just keep obeying. We just keep going forward, as God says. And that is only something that God can give to you, to go forward, not to want to go back. We always go forward, brother. Just like when God gave the Sabbath to you. Then He gave you the holy days. And then it's in your mind. And we continue, and you continued at that time to move forward in the truth. The present truth at that time. It's what you knew. And you went Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day. And we continue to watch as we move through God's plan at the events that are unfolding all around us. And it's a powder keg, brother. Don't see how anyone could deny it. And our time is short. And we watch the world scene of a dying world. It's dying right before your eyes, brother. I hope you see it. Verse 6. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. So, it's what God's telling us. Just do it. Walk in Him. Walk in this way of life. It's very simple. It's not complicated. And listen to the present truth. And understand how blessed you are to have those 57 truths. There's a lot that we don't understand. There's a lot. But there's a lot that you do understand. And it's exciting when you look at these 57 truths. And tell where you were at the apostasy for those that lived through those times. And it's awesome, brethren. So if we prove where God is working, why not walk the way that God says to walk if we proved it? And that's what He's telling us. To walk in this way of life and let God do the leading. We don't have to figure it all out. We don't have to know every turn. I think God has a GPS that is very accurate, brother. And we can't always look at His GPS. But I think it's a very accurate one. And it says, rooted and built up in Him and in Jesus Christ and in God and established in the faith. In other words, grounded in what we believe, in what God has given us. Do you believe those 57 truths? Do you believe the Sabbath? Do you believe the holy days? Do you believe how you received the truth? How did you get it? Where is the truth? It's very basic. And it's very simple. Either you got it here or either you didn't. And let's notice, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, be thankful for what you do understand, and don't worry about that you don't understand. And it's an important thing for us to grasp what we've been given, because we've been given so much, more than any that have ever lived in time. And how thankful are you for it? Are you thumbing your nose at it? It's an important thing to look upon these things, to pray about and just think about the different things that we've been given, what we have. How has your life changed since God opened your mind? Is it better? What about your relationships? What about the family that you have now that you are in the body of Christ? Look around. Those relationships, and that becomes one of the richest things that you could ever have upon the face of this earth, brethren. Just look around. Look around in the room you're at. The friends, the relationships in God's church. Just look around what you've formed. A family. And God is building a family that will eventually have no sin. It's hard to comprehend, but that's what He's building. And it's an awesome thing when you understand it. A family that has no sin. Think about it. Where there's no judging. Where there's a unity and oneness of spirit that we only have just a sample of in the church of God. Just a touch. Atonement. Onement with God. Think about that one. Onement with the great God of this universe. We are to become like Him. Just think about that one. The mind of God. And it's hard to comprehend it. So we do have a regiment of how we live and how we are to become alike as one another in the body of Christ. We do have a regiment. The commandments, to put sin out, to become like Jesus Christ, to strive for the mind of God. So we are supposed to become alike in that sense. Beware lest anyone spoil you. In other words, better said, take you captive. That's what it means, and that's what it's talking about. Beware lest anyone take you captive. And so let's notice what's being said, what Paul is telling them, because we can go right back through into captivity. We can go right back to it. I've seen brethren that were a part of us and ride by in this Christmas lights on the house. So you can go back. Through philosophy, human reasoning, wisdom of this world, any way you want to say it, the way people think in the world, it's what it's talking about. And the New King James says, according to the tradition of men. Easter, the tradition of men. Christmas, just to name those. But that's just the beginning. Because it's talking about all that is not true, all that does not come from God, all that is not revealed through God's Spirit. And Paul is saying, be careful. Don't get caught up in that garbage, that cesspool. Don't think that you can handle it, because you can't. After the rudiments, it means here elementary things, the basic things of the world, and not after Christ. The New King James says, according to the basic principles of the world. And that's what it's talking about. So it's saying, be grounded in Jesus Christ and understand what you have been given. Understand what you have. And to hold fast to what you have. To hold fast to what you do know. Those 57 truths, the Sabbath, the holy days, the plan of God. And let's notice, for in Him dwells all the all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So it comes from God. It comes through Jesus Christ. And you are complete in Him. We're able to dwell in Jesus Christ. And we saw that He died so that we can dwell in Him. Jesus died. And that's what this Passover just pictured. We saw how Jesus sacrificed His life so that each and every one of us could dwell in Him. And in the Father on a spiritual plane. So that we could grasp in the mind the things that God shows us. There's no other way to see what we see, brethren, except God let us see it. The mysteries of God that Paul is talking about. We understand those mysteries. Verse 10, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power, in whom you are also circumcised. Let's notice. With the circumcision made without hands. So what this is telling us, it's about the circumcision of the heart. Circumcision made without hands. And it says it is done by God. It's how it's done. Circumcision of the heart. In whom you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Let's notice. In the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So it's something done spiritually on a spiritual plane to get rid of sin, to get rid of the things that are not to be a part of our lives, to put them out. And let's turn over to Philippians 4 and verse 4. It's just back a chapter, I think. Philippians 4. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In other words, God's way of life. So this is connected to being thankful. And when we are thankful, it makes our ability to rejoice. It makes it easier. An example that I could give you, I guess, is looking forward to the Sabbath each week. Most of us just live for the Sabbath when God feeds us. And it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. The New James says anxious. And that says it better. And the word means over anxious. And we do tend to do that as human beings. And we do tend to be weighted down with burdens. Anxious because of what we don't know. Instead of focusing on what we do know. And the magnitude of this when it takes place can be very powerful. And that's why we are having this fast. To put off those oppressions. The anxieties. And to focus where we should be focused. To focus on God. To follow God, and to follow where He is leading us. God did not call us to fail, brother. He called us to succeed. And He has a plan to bring it about. And we know the end of the story. We know the end of the book. We know who wins in the end. And if we continue to follow God and let Him have all these worries, and use His GPS to tell us where we need to go. God tells us don't be anxious. And if we just continue to repent and to follow God, it's all guaranteed. Anyway, brother, it's all you have to do. It's very simple when you bring it down to those terms. Repent and follow God. Don't be anxious for anything, for nothing, God says. But in everything, let's notice, by, through, prayer, and supplication with thanksgiving. So that is how we are to do it. And that's a matter of understanding. God says He's our high tower. He's our fortress. And it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let's notice. Let your request be known unto God. So it's an attitude of mind. It's how it should be. It should be our responses to God. It should be how we think. And so much of it is just a matter of understanding and the peace of God. And this is something we're able to receive from God because of being more at one with Him. And being able to rid ourselves of these things that we read about in Isaiah, the weight, the burdens, the things that hold us back. Jesus Christ said His burden was light. And we're not to let what we've just read in Colossians to weaken us, that garbage, to eat out of the garbage pits. And it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ if we continue to follow God wherever He moves us, wherever He leads us. And our strength is in Jesus Christ. Our strength is in the body of Christ. Our strength is in drawing closer to our God. That's where it comes from. I hope we understand the urgency of this fast as God is moving His plan forward. We live in a world, as we read in this post, a world where world war is coming. A war that can annihilate every living thing upon this earth. And if God does not intervene, no flesh will be saved alive upon this earth. And we understand this. And we so look forward to the millennium when Jesus Christ will come and set up the kingdom of God upon this earth and set up the government of God upon this earth to end the oppression, to change Satan. And then you can take your bread that has been given to you and feed others that are hungry for this bread of life, for this correct way. They will want to know after all the destruction. They will want to know why it's taking place, why it has happened. Let's turn over to Isaiah 2 and let's finish up. Isaiah 2. And it's Isaiah 2 and we'll start in verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. That's us. That's the period of time we live in. We get to see, we get to experience some of the greatest transitions in all of man's history, brother. And it's an awesome thing to be able to partake in it. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Eternal's house, the kingdom of God, the government of God, that's the mountain, Mount Zion. And in other places it's referred to as the mountain of the Eternal's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. And that means in the top of all nations, over all people, and over all governments of this earth. And shall be exalted above the hills, the smaller nations. And all nations will flow into it. That's God's plan. It shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it, and many shall go and say, let's notice, come and let us go to the mountain of the Eternal. The desire of mankind will slowly begin to change. They will want to know about the bread of life that you have, the answers that you have. And they will want to become a part of this kingdom. That same kingdom. And they will begin to understand about the 144,000. And they will come to learn and to understand that there will be people during this time upon this earth that are representing 6,000 years of history, brethren. 6,000 years. All down through time. and they can have the answers. And it's an awesome time. 6,000 years of human history, and they want to be in this same family when they come to understand. This is what their desire will be for most. We understand the end of the book. We understand that some will not want to partake, but there will be most that do this. Let's go up to the kingdom of God. That's what they'll say. So it's about the government of God, and they will say, I want to be in that family, and let's go up to the house of God to learn of His ways. And many will say, many shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the eternal. It's because of their desire to learn to the house of the God of Jacob. And we can say it's about learning, and let's notice what's being said. And He will teach us of His ways. It's an awesome time upon this earth when this takes place. When you can deal your bread to learn those ways, the ways of God, they can learn the truth of God in order to live God's ways and become part of His family. And they have to go through the same thing that every one of us have gone through, to be baptized and receive God's Spirit. But it'll be a lot easier. Their choices and decisions will not be as hard as the ones that you've lived through. And we will walk in His paths. That's the choice that they have to make. And let's notice, for out of Zion shall go forth the law. A beautiful, beautiful picture. Mount Zion, the mountain of the eternal, the kingdom of God. And the truth is going to go out in a powerful way upon all of this earth, brethren. Just like we've learned in Isaiah about this fast. What some of you will be doing. Dealing your bread to the hungry. And the word of the eternal from Jerusalem, the city of peace. And He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. We're almost there, brother. It's just on the horizon. And let's notice, after the horrors, after what we just read about in the post, that's how close we are. We're talking about this war, this final war. And that's what it's talking about. After all the horrors of past, God says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation. God won't allow it anymore. They're going to learn peace. They're going to learn how to have peace. And we look so forward to this time. No more war. In a time when nation will not lift up sword against nation and never learn about this war anymore.